The commissioner of the National Hockey League, Gary Bettman, joins us this afternoon. How are you?
I'm great. It's good to be in Calgary. It's good to be with you.
Well, yeah, we were just talking off the air. I mean, the first time we did this was, 12 years ago. Almost this time, 12 years ago.
Time flies when you're having fun.
When exactly.
And you're still in the same room in the basement of the Saddle Dome.
That's right. That's right. You're still on a very nice level in downtown New York, right? Just off the Avenues of America.
Actually, on the Avenues of
America. Are you on the Avenues?
Right on 6th Avenue.
Yeah.
You never come visit. I come visit you once a year. You never come
visit. I said, I'm here to see Gary. Can I go upstairs? And they go, and you are again. And I couldn't get past the door. But next time, for sure, I'll call ahead.
You know, security in New York office buildings.
Yeah, well, understandably.
Is in a league of its own.
So much to talk about. But first of all, please.
What?
The beard. What fantastic. Beard? It is. Everybody's wearing them now. Well, everybody's going to the beard.
Well, mine's getting mixed reviews.
Really?
When I was younger, I used to have a beard, you know, in the winter, shave it for the summer,
sure,
grow it back. There are two issues with the beard. One is it's not the same color that it used to be. It's kind of white and gray. And some people like it. Some people don't like it. My wife happens to be one of those who doesn't like it.
Oh.
She thinks it makes me look even older than I am. And I guess at my age, that's not such a good thing.
You have the same issue that I do, which is it's got a nice coloration to it. I prefer the term distinguished. I think it looks
nice
distinguished.
Coloration isn't exactly what I would say, but we'll see. You know what? I can guarantee you that it'll be gone by the spring, because my youngest is getting married, and there's no way anybody will talk to me if I have a beard for those pictures.
Fully understand that.
Right? But that's okay.
No, I appreciate that.
Okay. You're very understanding.
But where did it come from? Was it like me? You get lazy and you forget to shave, and all of a sudden,
generally when I have a couple of days off, like over Christmas, I stop shaving, and then I let it go.
Okay. So not a stylist. Somebody didn't come to you and said, hey.
Oh, no. You use a stylist?
No. But you're the one in New York. I'm just in this dungeon here in Calgary, so I don't know.
But you look so nice.
Well, you were coming, so I thought I'd shave today.
Oh,
because you always, whenever you see me, you always notice one way or the other. So I thought, well, I don't want to freak him out. I'll shave today. Yet you show up with a beard.
Life is funny.
How are you going to do?
Okay.
Busy day for you. You addressed the Calgary Chamber of Commerce earlier today.
Yes.
Can you give us a synopsis of your message? What were you talking about, Gary?
Well, actually, I was asked to talk about the business of the game, the state of the league, and my view of what's going on in Calgary around the Flames and Calgary Next, which is an important project for the Flames and the community and the CFL team as well. And so, I had about a 20-minute period to give remarks. It was a very nice turnout. The chamber did a terrific job in hosting this luncheon. And then I took questions and answers probably for about another 15 minutes or so.
So when it comes to Calgary Next, because that is where we're seeing a lot of the traction this afternoon on your comments about that, what were you saying? What's your message?
My message is a variety of things. There's no magic message. It's, first of all, many cities in North America are using sports facilities, stadium, arena, both, to create projects that can transform a city. And, look up the road at Edmonton. That's one example. But you can look at Los Angeles, Columbus, Detroit, Tampa. I mean, the list goes on and on. And there's a great opportunity for Calgary to, in effect, look to the future, because you don't build these projects for 2016.
Right.
You've got to look out 10, 20, 30 years. And, it's obvious that the Flames need a new arena. This arena will be the only one that either isn't brand new or isn't virtually brand
renovated,
new.
Renovated, yeah.
You know, well, substantial renovation. And if this team wants to maintain its vibrancy and competitiveness, it's important that they have the same thing that everybody else has.
In your tenure in the National Hockey League, how many of these do you estimate you have gone through in terms of buildings?
Well, actually, everybody since I've been in has a new building or a virtually new building. What's interesting is, and I cited the statistics this afternoon, this building's older, the Saddle Dome is, older than 9 of our franchises. So, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure,
that, sure.
By the
one.
Way, and this
yeah.
in its time, this was a magnificent building. Mm-hmm. But the world of stadiums, arenas, fan amenities, the ability to host all types of shows has passed this building by. And, you know, I think if nothing else, the Flames will be at a competitive disadvantage the longer they stay in the building. And as I said today, you know, not only does a state-of-the-art building help attract players, cause them to want to stay in a place, cause free agents to want to be there, it's also good for businesses that are looking to attract people, that there's a project that deals with the quality of life in addition to being an economic engine for Calgary.
Are these projects to themselves unique in every situation, or is there some commonality? And by that I mean when you watched Edmonton go through what Edmonton went through, or you watched Pittsburgh not that long ago through, is there certain things, or as you as the commissioner can advise or at least talk about, that goes into this? Because this for us is unique, right?
Well,
in our lifetime.
Well, you look for something that's suited for the city. So here, Calgary Next is a project that will take land that is completely unusable and transform it into a vibrant part of the city. The common denominator in all of these is, one, there needs to be a vision.
Mm-hmm.
Two, there needs to be a vision that's shared by the team, the ownership of the team, and the city, the governmental leaders,
mm-hmm.
the elected officials. And there needs to be a partnership, public-private, that brings that vision forward. Daryl Cates and then-Mayor Mandel, while we went through some well-chronicled debates and difficult times, the fact is, overwhelmingly, they had a vision. It wasn't identical, but it was pretty close as
right.
to what they needed and wanted to do for the city of Edmonton.
I want to come to just put Calgary for aside for a second, because when Ken announced in August the vision of Calgary Next, he referenced being in Board of Governors meetings and buildings and projects like Los Angeles, like Detroit, like Edmonton. I don't know if you remember this, but in the draft in 2010 in Los Angeles, you and I ran into each other right outside of a Starbucks, and you just said for a second, take a look around, take a look at this and what this has become.
And this didn't exist in Los Angeles. In other words, the area around Staples Center
right.
and LA Live was not the most friendly area for people to be in,
right.
not only at night, but during the day. And now there's this complex with offices and stores and hotels. And people actually are living in that part of downtown L.A. where they didn't live there before. It has, you know, not just rejuvenated, it juvenated
right.
that part of downtown Los Angeles. And what Ken was referring to at the board meeting, and what I was really talking to you about, was what a difference a team with a stadium, arena, can make to a community. It can raise the quality of life. It can be an economic engine. It can do things for a city that perhaps nothing else can do, but it requires vision both by the political leaders and by the franchise.
It's kind of gone from just building the building to building a part of the community, right?
Because it can be more than that. You know, the what we've found is, you know, stadiums and arenas in the middle of nowhere, you know, don't have the impact and the benefits and aren't as attractive as the ones that are part of a broader package. And you know, somebody said to me today,
yeah.
well, you know, the Canadian dollar's down, the price of oil's down,
right.
and yeah, okay, look at Michigan and look at what they're doing in downtown Detroit. And I dare say that Calgary is in a different universe than downtown Detroit has been.
I do want to come back to that, but I just want to stay on the development of the area, Columbus, around Nationwide Arena.
You've seen that.
I've seen that. I've seen
didn't exist.
Right. There are some, the detractors to these types of projects will suggest that you are robbing Peter to pay Paul, that you're
yeah.
taking businesses and people from somewhere else in downtown and moving them. You talked about this. Clearly, my guess is you've got numbers that back this up, right?
Well, but you know, look at what the Verizon Center, which houses the Wizards and Capitals in Washington, D.C.,
right.
You know, took an area of Chinatown that wasn't the showpiece of Washington, D.C., and made it into a vibrant area that people go to. What you're referring to is what the academics, you know, as a matter of economic theory.
Yep.
I've seen it in reality, not theory, too many times to buy into that. I tell you that these projects drive, not only did they drive an economic engine, mm-hmm. but they affect the quality of life. And even if you wanted to say it was an economic wash, which it's not, the quality of life is something that's intangible. It's why people will want to relocate their businesses to Calgary. It's why young people getting out of university would want to come to Calgary, look for a job, and raise a family. It's broader than an economic theory that says you're moving the money around from one pocket to another. I don't buy that at all, especially because CRLs tend to cause taxes that weren't there to come and fund these things and be developed to fund these things.
Community revitalization levies, which yeah. were used at East yeah. Village,
exactly.
which the Flames are proposing for this project.
Right. And East Village, by all accounts, both that I could see and people talking to me while I'm here today, has a huge success, widely in excess
right.
of people's expectations. So the answer from an academic might be, well, if they didn't live in the East Village, they'd live somewhere else. Well, yeah, but now that downtown Calgary has been extended with a great new area.
He is the commissioner of the National Hockey League, Gary Bettman. He's our guest in studio for a full hour here on The Big Show.
A full hour? I agreed to that?
Yes, because okay. we're buddies.
We
You're
are
the
buddies.
Only, we're the, this is like we're, the only guy you
actually,
do it with, right?
If you say we're buddies,
yeah.
you might be lowering your favorability rating in Calgary.
I have. I've said this. Of the people in life, that if you ask me who I'd love to go have lunch with, it's you. I've always found you to be fascinating. I really have. And you've always been treated me good, so I could care less about my approval ratings.
Good. Well, in my book, your approval ratings
there you
are
go.
Just fine.
It's a mutual loving
Whatever.
Right here.
Yeah. Okay.
Back to the practicality of it.
Of what?
Let me give you some of the comments. We've done phone in with Ken. We've had our listeners call in. We've had some conversation. The problem that I have right now, Gary, is I want to rush to the public conversation. I want to have the public conversation because history has shown me that that can be contentious, but it also is where the business gets done. And now the mayor has come out today and he has said he didn't know you were in town. They plan on continuing and going along with their investigation and hope to have that in the spring and start the conversation. I'd like to fast forward to that.
Okay, well, let's back up for a second.
All right.
The mayor said he didn't know I was in town.
Will, can you play me the Mayor Nenshi clip, please? Will, do you have it?
See, there's nothing there.
No. We got it.
I don't think he said he didn't know I was in town, but we requested a meeting,
mm-hmm.
and we were told that the mayor would not be available.
Okay.
If in fact, I guess the mayor now knows I'm in town, if he'd like to meet with me tonight after the hockey game,
right.
if he wants to meet me at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm on his schedule. But if he's too busy and he's the mayor of an important city, I get that.
Right.
The next thing is, we can all talk about the numbers.
Yep.
But that's not really, I think, what the discussion should be right now. I think the discussion should be is this a good project? And does somebody have a different vision?
Sure.
And if everybody agrees that, it's what I said to you about Mayor Mandel and,
mm-hmm.
and Daryl Cates.
Mm-hmm.
If you agree that this is a good project.
Right.
Then you figure out the rest.
But as I said, we've taken calls. We know where the questions are. So
ask the questions.
I'm going to ask the questions.
Please do.
I will. And you talked about Detroit before. As you know, this is a depressed economy in Calgary right now. We saw layoffs that we have not seen in this city for decades. Just prior to Christmas, somebody looking at this might go, "Is this the right time? Why would we do it now?"
So. Two things.
Yep.
You travel the league.
Yep.
You want to compare Calgary to downtown Detroit?
No.
Okay. So we'll start with that. Secondly,
yep.
You build a building for a week or a year. What you do in 2016, which will take until 2021-22, if we put a shovel in the ground or we started the environmental cleanup now, you're looking at 5 years. This is multi-generational. This is about 10, 20, 30 years ahead. This isn't about 2016. And as we all know, the Canadian dollar versus the U.S. dollar goes up and down. The price of oil's going up and down. You don't do it based on today. You do it based on the long-term vision you have for the city.
But there's a fear, is there not, about the... You're right about the fluctuation in both the dollar and oil and gas, but we've seen extreme fluctuations. I mean, we weren't that far removed from par on the dollar, and we weren't that far removed from $80 or $90 a barrel, and it's a long way from that right now, Gary. It seems a little extreme.
And I remember during my 23-year tenure, the dollar being in the 60s.
Yeah.
And it may get there again, but then it went to par and above.
Right.
So, you know, this isn't a short-term conversation. To me, the bigger discussion is this a good plan? If you believe in the vision, if you think this is good for Calgary, if you think it's good to do an ecological cleanup on land that otherwise has no use, so the downtown footprint of the city can have a vibrancy and can increase, then you say, yeah, we like this plan. Then you figure out how to deal with it.
Right. What about the, and you have probably faced this one since day one, on a project like this. Why should taxpayer money go to professional athletes?
Well, it's not going to professional athletes. It's going for what I believe is part of the infrastructure of the city. Buildings, projects like this operate as an economic model. They affect the quality of life. And as a practical matter, nobody's going to build one of these buildings in cities of most sizes privately. It has to be a private-public partnership. And I know that the Flames owners have offered $450 million, which is more than half the cost of this project. And so that's, they're not saying build me a project and give it to me for free. They're prepared to commit substantial revenues towards it. You know, the fine points of how you do that and what it all means, that's what you get to when there's agreement that this is a good project in concept.
You touched on the Canadian dollar, and Gary, I might be going a long way to make a point or ask a question, but when you first visited me here 12 years ago, one of the things at that time we were talking about was the Canadian equalization.
You have some memory.
I don't get it much.
That's clearly.
But what is different about the NHL model today, he asked, I think knowingly, that... You know, the dollar's roughly or maybe around where it was, and there was an equalization program, yet there's no talk of an equalization program. What has changed in the business model that we're not having that conversation?
The collective bargaining agreement we did 12 years ago. The salary cap, the minimum, revenue sharing, both writing checks and what you get in receipt is all part of a system that's based intentionally on U.S. dollars so that it wouldn't count for fluctuations in the Canadian dollar. And so HRR, hockey-related revenues, is computed in U.S. dollars. If the Canadian dollar vis-a-vis the U.S. dollar goes down, then HRR will be less, cap will be lower, revenue sharing will be distributed differently. And so while it's not 100%, there is a significant impact in the system which accounts for a change, either high or low, of the Canadian dollar.
So, and the point I was trying to make, I guess, by that is, unlike 12 years ago where...
We have a system in place.
Right. And so there's stability for this organization in this league that, you know...
Let's back up for a second.
Please.
We'll do a little bit of history. When in the early 2000s, at about the same time as we installed the Canadian Assistance Program, we had teams with $20 million payrolls and we had teams with $80 million payrolls. That disparity was unsustainable. The Canadian dollar made it difficult for the Canadian teams to compete against the high-paying U.S. teams because, you know, all salaries get paid in U.S. dollars. And so I also understood that that disparity was affecting the game on the ice, because if a team was playing with $20 million in payroll against a team in $80 million in payroll, the only way you could compete would be to neutralize skill, and you would clutch and grab and hook and hold, and we know what that represented.
Right.
When we came in with the cap, in addition to having revenue sharing, we had a system where everybody could afford to compete, and that's why the game opened up, and that's why the competitive balance we have is a function of this system, and we have the best competitive balance in our history. You look at the races to make the playoffs, the turnover, the number of teams. Last year, I think there were seven teams that made the playoffs that didn't have it
right.
The year before. I think if we stopped the season today, there would either be five or six teams that would be in the playoffs
sure.
that weren't in last year. That's awesome. That's what it's all about. No matter who you root for, you've got hope that your team can make the playoffs, and then anything will happen in the playoffs. That's all part of this overall system. And I think, in addition to our competitive balance in terms of our history being so good, I think we have the best competitive balance in all of professional sports.
He's the commissioner of the National Hockey League, Gary Bettman. He is our guest in studio. We're talking about Calgary next.
And other things.
We will certainly get to some other things, because there are, I think, some things to celebrate, quite honestly, and some questions about the league that I'd like to get to. But just a couple more on Calgary next, if that's all right.
Whatever you want.
The idea of there's a dramatic representation of these negotiations at some point. This, you know, they're holding a gun to the city's head. Or not this one, Gary. I'm talking about these types of plays. Is that day, or this is about a negotiation, right? This is about creating a conversation, having a conversation, and negotiating what this will become.
I think this is broader than a negotiation. The negotiation is what you have after you agree that you need to do something. It goes to what we discussed before about the vision. What facilities, what infrastructure improvements does Calgary need?
Right.
And so the negotiation only comes when everybody's kind of on the same page as to what they want to accomplish. The fact is, if you're focused on your franchise, you want your team to have what everybody else has. State-of-the-art facility enables you to attract players, enables you to be competitive, enables you as a city to have the types of amenities, whether it's concerts or family shows or ice shows or conventions, that you as a major league city, as a major city in North America, want to have what major cities have.
What input do you have on this project, Gary? What input does the league have on a project like this?
All we can do is try to be helpful.
Okay.
We can counsel the parties if they're inclined. We sometimes mediate would be too strong, but we talk about where the commonality is and how we bridge the differences. It varies. In the final analysis, it's up to the local constituents here to come together, reason together, and come up with a plan. If I can be helpful doing that, I am available. If the parties have no interest
right.
in having us involved, then we're not involved.
Even at the planning stage? There's certain requirements that a building would have.
I'm very familiar with Calgary Next. I think it's well thought out. I think it's a great plan, a great project, and I think it would be great for Calgary. That's my view, but it's not my project. It's really Calgary's and the owners of the Flames.
Right. Have you ever run across a situation where you had to kind of stop somebody, not Calgary or somebody, but down the line? I mean, maybe you're going down the wrong path here. Maybe you got to adjust thinking here.
I've done that on occasion.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you where.
No, I didn't ask you. I just said, had you?
But you know what? But that, you know, it's interesting that you asked the question that way, because what popped into my head as you were asking the question is when Quebec and Winnipeg moved
right.
in the 90s, and, you know, people, it's been revisionist history, you know, blame me for that. When in fact, they were in both of those cities at the time, and I'm not trying to draw an analogy, it just popped into my head. In those cities at that time, there was no prospect of a new facility, and nobody wanted to own a team in those markets at that time. And that's why the teams moved. They were either going out of business or they moved, because we were done. There was nothing right. we can do, and we tried everything. We're not near that here. We're not even focused on that here. There's been a great ownership group here from the time they brought the Flames from Atlanta. You had people like the Hotchkisses and the Siemens, you know, who were devoted to Calgary and to the Flames and to hockey. The franchise has been in great shape under Murray Edwards' leadership as chairman and all the good work Ken King has done. And so what they're trying to do, because they're Calgarians who love this place, they want to do the right thing for the city and for the sports teams.
A couple more on this. Do you agree with me, my premise earlier, that I want to get to that public conversation because it is about the vision, and I think the Flames have been quite upfront about that from the beginning. Don't get caught up too much in what the buildings are going to look like and where your seats are going to be. Do we want this from Calgary? Is that the biggest, most important thing now, is to get to that public consultation, to get to that conversation?
I am told that the public overwhelmingly supports this. I've been at season ticket holder events where the support, when this topic comes up, has been overwhelming. Have I formally commissioned the poll? The answer is no. But again, it's about the project in the first instance,
right,
and then how you pay for it and do the mechanics of it secondly.
But don't you, maybe you don't. I think it goes beyond just hockey fans and season ticket holders because of the field house and all of the other things, the concerts that would come here.
You don't have to be a sports fan to embrace this project.
Sure.
It's about vitalizing an area that is completely unusable right now.
So as far as you're concerned, let's go ahead and start negotiating the deal, or do we still have to?
No, you got to get everybody on the
same. I want that public
conversation. There has to be a will to do it.
Right. Both the mayor and councilors have come out this afternoon and said they, you know, appreciate what you have to say, but they're sticking by the evaluation they're doing, which will come out in the spring. Can you live with that timeline?
It's not whether or not I can live with the timeline. If what they're saying is we embrace this project, but we need to see what the report is on the environmentals, and ultimately we need to have a discussion as to how you pay for this, that's great. If that's what they're saying, that we embrace this project and we embrace the vision, I think that's a major step forward. I don't know that they're saying that, though.
So what are they saying?
I don't know. I'm only a visitor. I'm not a Calgarian. I don't get a vote. But the fact of the matter is, I hope that's what they're saying.
No, but you're here, for all intents and purposes, stumping for the local club, right? And helping the support
program.
You know
what? I know the city's taking a good hard look at this. We have meetings tomorrow morning with city people, which is why, again, I'm surprised if I have those meetings, the mayor doesn't know I'm here. But at the end of the day, I'm hoping that's what they're saying. But I don't like to respond to what people say publicly. I got to hear it myself.
Fair enough. He is the commissioner of the National Hockey League, Gary Bettman, our guest in studio. You mentioned when you were talking to the Chamber of Commerce today that you also kind of gave a little bit of a State of the Union address, an update. Would you share some of that with us as we sit here right now? Halfway through the season.
Saturday was halfway.
Yeah. Where are we at?
We're good. Game's great. Exciting, competitive. I think 23 teams are either playoff bound if we finish today or within 5 points. So there are going to be some exciting races.
Right.
We continue to monitor the game daily. 3-on-3 is working well. Coach's challenge is working well. Game's good. And if the game's good, then everything else can be good around it. The business of the game is good. We're excited about the World Cup. We're excited about all the new uses we're making of technology. Rogers is doing a great job with the national package as well as the local packages. We've never had more available on digital platforms and technology, whether it's NHL.com or the Flames website or Rogers Game Center Live. It's a good time to be a fan because your ability to connect with the game has never been better.
Parity, right? That is
competitive balance. I think it's a little more elegant than parity.
Elegant?
Elegant.
Is there a difference?
No, parity sounds like, I don't know. I like competitive balance better. It sounds more exciting and more competitive.
Fair enough. It's your league. You get to choose the words.
No, but it's your radio show. You can say whatever you want.
I'm not going to. Kudos for taking a Calgary idea and incorporating it into your All-Star game. Flames alumni Colin Patterson, Perry Berzan, for 10 years ran the SO 3-on-3 alumni hockey tournament here. So I have long wondered what that might look like as an All-Star game. So I'm very excited about this All-Star game.
I think we're going to have fun with it. I think the players are going to have fun with it. I like the format with the 3 mini games and a big prize winner take all. I think it should be a great weekend in Nashville.
Was there a lot of ideas, or was this kind of on its own and adopted that way?
No, we understand the frustrations that some people have had with the All-Star game in the past. Three-on-three has been exciting. It's been entertaining. And it kind of fits more in the style that All-Star games have been played in. It's a little less physical. There's a little less hitting. I think from an entertainment standpoint, people are going to really enjoy this.
You have talked about wanting to engage in being interactive with your fans. Your fans were interactive in this All-Star game. John Scott goes. Mm-hmm. Any thought on that, concern on that at all?
I think he's going to have a fun weekend. He's going to be just like all the other players that are there, been selected to the All-Star team. And if this is what the fans wanted, that's great. And if John Scott wants to be there, that's great too. So I know there's been a lot of speculation about that, but you know, we're here because we have fans,
right?
And we listen to the fans.
World Cup.
Yes.
This under 23 team, yes, just fascinates me to no end.
It's going to be fun.
And a little inside hockey.
It's actually 23 and under.
23,
it's,
sorry.
It's actually under 24 or 23 and under.
It's the same.
It's a slight difference.
But it's like the World Juniors, though, right?
There may be some players who would be in that bubble year. So people thinking about it, if they didn't have the exact number, might be confused.
I just want to ask kind of a business question. Have you had inquiries from other sports or other groups asking you about this? Because I might be wrong on this, Gary, but I'm not sure I've seen a kind of an international competition before that's had that tweak, has it?
Well, I think soccer in the Olympics has an age limitation.
They do, but not taking and cross-pollinating teams.
No, well, but
you're cross-pollinating teams, which I think is...
Our history of international competition,
yeah,
particularly our players, including before they get to us, is unlike any of the other North American sports. So I think we're kind of unique. And we concluded that to add a seventh and eighth country at this point would have made the tournament less competitive than it's going to be. The European team is going to have a bunch of NHL stars, most of whom, if we picked two countries, wouldn't have been able to play. So that team's going to be highly skilled and fun. And the 24 under 24, 23 and under team from North America, because those players are not eligible to be on the U.S. or Canadian teams, that is going to be a fun team to watch. And so what we've got the makings of is an extraordinarily competitive tournament.
Plus, the European team should prove to be a really interesting experiment as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. You know what? Whether it's the Ryder Cup or other international competitions, there have been times when players from the same broad broad geographic area get together to compete, even if they're from different countries, against athletes in other places.
So you helped me out with competitive balance, right? We've agreed on that.
Well, we didn't agree. I'm giving you a preference.
Okay, so this word has an ugly connotation.
Uh-oh.
But it's the reality of what we live in. It's how.
Why do you like ugly words?
Because I'm a very simple guy. Made for TV event. That's what the World Cup is. I mean, you're going to have some audience there, but this is really special for television, don't you think? And that's a reality we live in.
You're
not going to generate most of your revenue off tickets. No. Yes,
yeah, I think we probably are.
What?
Yeah. I mean, it's worldwide on television, but in terms of, you know, having the Air Canada Centre filled for 16 or 17 games, depending on what happens in best of three final.
Sure.
This is all about a place for people to come from all over the world and celebrate our sport and the international aspects of our game, which are so important and so strong. No, this is not a made-for-TV event. This is made-for-hockey event. It's made for the fans.
Yeah, but everybody, we consume it in so many ways now, right?
Well,
television,
you're telling me that the game here tonight is between the Sharks and the Flames is a made-for-TV event?
No.
Okay, so why do people
Because
come
we're
to
not
games?
Playing it in Toronto, though.
Yeah, so?
Why didn't you move the damn thing out here?
Well, you need a new building before I can consider doing that.
Okay. I see how that works. Gotcha. All right.
You know, as I said today at the Chamber Luncheon, I'd love to bring a draft back. I'd love to bring an All-Star game back. I'd love to consider Calgary for a World Cup or some other major events. Not in this building.
A couple last ones for you. We do appreciate the time, as always.
Wow, time flies.
I know. I keep telling you. Remember when you had your own show?
Yes.
When's that coming back, by the way?
You know what? I've been so busy. I haven't had the luxury of scheduling myself
into it. I don't know.
I enjoyed doing it.
I know, and I loved listening to it. I thought it was really cool when you did that.
You didn't feel threatened in terms of switching over
to the
broadcast.
I like being pushed because, dude, I spend every day here thinking I can do your job. Why shouldn't you have a couple of minutes thinking I can do mine?
Well,
that's fair, right?
Well, I hadn't thought of it in those
times. Well, there you go.
You really spend every day thinking you can do my job?
Oh, you should listen to the show. Gary, why is he doing this? Gary should do that. If I was Gary, that's predominantly this program. And then a little bit of CFL.
Oh, okay.
All seriousness, though,
yeah.
couple of the projects, health and safety issues. Mm-hmm. Robin Regier retired today.
Yes.
Talked about starting a program with Rhett Warner here in Calgary to help players transition. Can you just talk about some of the things you and the NHLPA are doing in terms of player health and safety?
Well, that's with the issue that you're talking about transcends health and safety. We've been working with the Players Association on a whole host of counseling issues and availability and programs. And, you know, putting aside the safety issue, we together believe whatever we can do to smooth the transition from being an NHL player into a different kind of lifestyle is something we'd like to help the players with. Obviously, all of these things we can only do and will only do in conjunction with the Players Association. That's the reality of the way this works. But we believe very strongly in our players contributing to the game, making sure the game is as safe as possible when they play it, maintaining the fact that it is a physical game. And at the same time, to the extent players or their families need assistance in life issues, we want to be proactive and constructive in that regard.
We've talked before about how the world of pro sports is changing. There's no doubt about it. Concussion issues and those types of things. They're there, and I know that you've worked on that. I want to be respectful of that situation. But if you look on the ice, we talked about the decline in fighting off the air, you know, the dangerous hits, the work to take headshots out. It is kind of happening right in front of our eyes. The game is changing or evolving, right?
Well, I think you would be the first to agree, because you know the game well and you watch it, that it's safer and that we've taken certain hits out of the game. That the issue of medical treatment, particularly for concussions, is something that we've invested a lot of time and energy in to try and get
right
based on the medicine as people understand it at the time. And so, you know, we take all of that stuff seriously. But the game is evolving. The fact that you've seen a change in the makeup of fourth lines for a number of teams probably is a function of the fact that the game is so competitive. And that if you're going to win in this league now, you got to focus on skill and speed more than anything else, and that every line has to contribute either on defense and scoring. You need players who aren't, and I'm not picking on any particular players, but you need players that are more than one-dimensional.
Well, you like to think a guy like Johnny Gaudreau now, you know.
Well, I mentioned, actually, the fact that a player of his size can be as successful as he's been is a testament to the way the game is being played.
Last one on the game, your workload moving forward, what's at the top of your agenda when it comes to the game right now?
We monitor it every day.
Yeah.
Player safety is of paramount importance. I know a lot of people are focused on scoring. I'm not as hung up on it as some of the commentary on it, but it's something that we look at every day. The coach's challenge is working well. It was funny, I saw somebody wrote today that it's taking too long. Well, you know, the reason the coach's challenge is there are some very difficult calls that you know, you need to get it right. And if it takes a little longer, we're going to take longer and get it right. But the reason it was challenged in the first place is because it was a close call.
Is there a danger in searching for perfection?
Well,
because goals and scoring chances are exciting. They come from mistakes. This game is so well coached now.
But different kinds of mistakes. In other words, we use the coach's challenge for offsides leading to a goal.
Sure.
And, you know, you don't want You don't want goals scored on offside plays because that's a glaring error. And we use it for goaltender interference both ways. I mean, sometimes, you know, the officials will call goaltender interference when, in fact, it wasn't. And that really is one of the key things that the coach's challenge was designed to do.
Always a pleasure to spend some time with you. For those who just might have gotten their vehicles and turned it on, you were Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the National Hockey League, our guest. You've been in town. You talked to the Chamber of Commerce. Can you just kind of restate your message from earlier? You're here to talk about Calgary Next, to get the conversation going?
Well, actually, I'm here because I try to get to a game everywhere. I love coming to Calgary, even in the heart of winter. And the fact is, the state of the league is strong. The Flames are being well-run, great ownership, great fans. This is a great city. And as part of all of that, it would be important and needed to move forward on the Calgary Next project.
You know that I really do appreciate the time you allot us. You go above and beyond when it comes to this station and the way you treat us. So, Gary, I really do appreciate that. Dig in the beard. I know it's a wedding, but if I were you, I'd start working on keeping it, because a little, you get about 4 inches, get that big bushy thing for next year. That'll be awesome. The Grizzly Adams look.
Really?
I'm just saying.
Just saying. Well, I'll give you my wife's phone
number. Oh, yeah. I bet you will. Gary, an honor, sir. Thank you.
Great to be with you.